The following Cruise Addicts talk show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is brought to you by InsureMyTrip.com. Travel insurance done right from the people who know travel insurance. Find out more at InsureMyTrip.com.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting from the InsureMyTrip.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. New website, revamped, and a new feature called SpeakPipe on there, just to the right-hand side of cruiseradio.net, where you can leave voicemails for us here on the show, like listener Sonia Shiro did from Houston, Texas.
Hi, Doug. This is Sonia from Houston, Texas. Love the new website. Congratulations and way to go. Bye.
On this show, we'll get a review of Royal Caribbean's Grandeur of the Seas. Listener Janet Heaton just returned from a seven-night Caribbean sailing aboard her, and she'll give us a comprehensive review. But first, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
Good, man. So this is rather interesting. We'll kick the show off with MSC ordering two more ships. Now, this is on the heel of them ordering a couple of ships a couple of months ago, didn't they?
Yeah, back in October, they ordered two ships that were going to be essentially in the Quantum class size. They're 167,600 tons from the French yard and from the Italian yard, which is what, you know, Fincantieri, which builds the Carnival Corp ships. They ordered two 154,000 ton ships.
Wow!
So it's a you know, these are some really big orders with some really big ships.
Do you think they're overbuilding?
Well, it's interesting. You know, a lot of people would say they overbuilt on the cargo side, on the cruise side. I mean, you're talking ships of this nature. The two new ships are definitely built for warm weather destinations. So, you know, Caribbean and maybe some South America. Without a doubt, I definitely think these, you know, at least one of these two ships is going to be coming to Florida. And you know, we've seen, you know, some of the pricing that Divina had, you know, been offering. I mean, they had a sale for a number of weeks at $199 for 7 days.
Yeah.
I mean, currently, I mean, they've got $379 when the ship comes back in, you know, the middle of August.
Well, we talked a couple of weeks ago about who sets the precedent for the rates, like they're so low. But is that in fact true when MSC sets a seven-night sailing for $199 and the other guys are getting a lot more? Do they have to drop their prices too?
Well, unfortunately, it does pull the pricing down.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter, you know, how bad or how good a ship may be. When you have low pricing, it does have negative implications on other cruise lines.
Hmm.
And, you know, then, of course, then you're winding up with it's very difficult to bring the pricing back, which is what the cruise lines have been working so hard to. Especially by adding more amenities to give you more reasons to spend a little bit more for the cruise, because the cruises are giving you a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Next talking point here, Holland America is getting rid of two ships, so that's reducing their overall capacity, but not for too long, right?
Well, I wouldn't say they're getting rid of them.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Their parent company, Carnival Corp, is reassigning Rheindam and Stottendam from Holland America to P&O Australia, which is just doing gangbusters out there. The growth of the Australia-New Zealand cruises has been fantastic. So they're going to be moving that ship out because Holland America, remember, has got a new ship on order right now. So essentially that will take the place of those two ships, the new 99,500-ton Holland America ship that's under construction will take the place of those two ships.
So basically getting rid of two ships, but the new ship will actually have the same capacity more or less or more.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Looks like Carnival's going year-round in the Mexican Riviera region and also swapping ships in Alaska. Did I read this right?
You read it right, Doug. And what Carnival's actually doing is after a two-year absence of the year-round cruises, they're actually resuming.
Okay.
Essentially, they have not had a presence for two consecutive summers on the seven-day Mexican Riviera run. So they are going to, you know, beginning on October 4th, they're going to resume the year-round sailings from Mexico, which will obviously go into 2015 and throughout. So this way, they're saying that they're actually saying that the signs are strengthening for increased demand.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to resume the year-round seven-night sailings. And the other good news, Doug, is that they're going to be returning to Mazatlan. in addition to the two going to Mazatlan, they're also going to be they're going to essentially have three different types of itineraries, because a lot of people like the 2 days in Cabo San Lucas and the one in Puerto Vallarta. So it's going to be interesting with the different changes. So this way it kind of shakes it up, and so this way it gives people reason to sail more frequently on those seven-night runs, and that's great news. And then the Carnival Legend will take over for Carnival Miracle in Alaska, and Carnival Legend is the ship that they've been using out in Australia seasonally. Mm-hmm.
Looks like Disney is returning to Hawaii in 2015. Is this substantial?
Well, Doug, it is in the sense that you know, they're on their way back from Alaska in the fall of 2015. That it's only, you know, look, it's an easy thing to do to go to Hawaii. So essentially, they're going to have a couple of sailings. But what's even more interesting, Doug, is that they're going to be doing some additional West Coast and Galveston runs, which you know, these are destinations that. I mean, they've never really sailed from San Diego. They were in Los Angeles when they were on the West Coast.
Right.
And they're also going to be going to, returning to Galveston for some select dates. But, you know, on the West Coast from San Diego, they're going to have, you know, they're going to have some Hawaii cruises. They're going to have some Baja cruises, you know, during the holiday season. From Galveston, they're going to have seven-night itineraries of, you know, heading to the West Coast, you know, to the Western Caribbean. And the holiday sailings, and it really, what this really does, Doug, is it shows the flexibility that Disney has with their four ships, that they can do all kinds of different itineraries. So Disney Wonder will eventually wind up back in Miami, but for a period of time, Disney Magic, which will be in Europe, will spend some time in Miami, which has been very, very successful for Disney on those 4 and 5 night runs. So
it's a small world after all.
You're right.
Looks like Norwegian Jewel just got out of dry dock. Now, Norwegian Jewel got some enhancements that are going to be going fleet-wide. Am I correct on this?
You are. In fact, NCL announced that they are spending more than $250 million on refurbishments of the ships. I mean, and they've got they're calling it the Norwegian Next. Mm. So they're going to be upgrading and changing up their menus on board the ships, adding the dining venues like, you know, their pub. I just can't say the name. I just won't do it.
I'll say it. Oh, Sheehan's.
Yeah. But so essentially they're adding these casual dining venues on board the ships. The Sugarcane Mojito Bar, which was initially put on Norwegian Getaway, which is their newest ship. So they're adding some neat things. Carlo's Bake Shop, and you know, so they're going to have some nice features and enhancements to the ships that are reminiscent of what's being found on both the two new ships, Breakaway and Getaway.
Bringing some of the new to the old.
Exactly.
All right.
Which is what we've seen, you know, over the past several years, where you've seen Royal Caribbean and Carnival refreshing their fleets, mm-hmm. adding a lot of the Oasis and Carnival Dream class features to the rest of the fleets. So NCL, you know, saying, hey, this is a great idea. You know, why don't we do that? And it really makes the longevity of these ships, you know, relevant with the newer features found on their newest ships.
Very good. Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, we appreciate it.
My pleasure.
How many times have you said, that'll never happen to us? Vacations are a big investment with both time and money, and they should be protected. For over a decade, InsureMyTrip.com has been the online travel insurance leader, offering the best plans from the most trusted providers. Our licensed and award-winning customer service team makes sure you have the right coverage for your travel. To find out why over 98% of travelers would recommend InsureMyTrip, visit InsureMyTrip.com.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We always love hearing about your cruise vacations. If you have one you'd like to share with us, just email comments@cruiseradio.net and we'll get you on the air to share your experience. Like listener Janet Heaton, she just returned from a Caribbean sailing on Royal Caribbean's Grandeur of the Seas, And she joins us this evening. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Good. And I'm going to admit, my producer didn't give me any prep on this ship. So I have to ask you, where did you sail out of?
This was out of Baltimore.
Okay. And how many nights?
It was a 7-night sailing.
Very good. Well, we'll just go from there then and say you get to the port of Baltimore. And how was embarkation for Grandeur?
Actually, I love Baltimore. It's really easy. It's right off the I-95.
Mm-hmm.
You can park right there. The terminal's right there. Super friendly people.
Yeah.
Really easy terminal.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking, you sailed out of Bayonne, New Jersey, and you mentioned having to take a shuttle from the parking garage or whatever to the actual ship. Was it like that, or you just walk right through the terminal and board there?
Yeah, it's not like Bayonne at all. You walk right in, and from the terminal, you go right to the ship.
Very good.
Even easier.
Well, you get on the ship, and what were your first impressions of Grandeur of the Seas?
I love it. It's been through dry dock, so it's had all its renovations, and you walk right into the sunroom area where the R-Bar is.
Nice.
So that's all brand new.
Now, I've never been on Grandeur of the Seas. Is that ship, is it kind of like the other Royal Caribbean ships that have, like, you walk into the atrium where it's like this big mall at sea?
No, I mean, it does not have... you have the big centrum where the R-Bar is. There's no long haul of, like, the shops and the restaurants. It's
gotcha.
A smaller ship.
Okay,
smaller
gotcha. Ship. Shows how much I know. You're schooling me right now.
no Royal Promenade.
Gotcha. That's what I was looking for. Thank you so much for that. So you make your way through the atrium. You go to your stateroom. So what kind of stateroom did you have, and what were your impressions of it?
Yeah, again, it's been all upgraded, so it was an inside stateroom, but they have all, like, the brand new flat screen TVs, new carpeting, just new bedding.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was really fresh, really nice and new.
With the refurbished staterooms, can you handle, like, your account and stuff on the actual TVs?
Yes, you can, which is so easy.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, we have something in common, Janet, and that is the fact that we both love the food on Royal Caribbean. So let's talk about that. What did you think of the food on the Grandeur of the Seas?
The food is good. They actually added a lot of the specialty restaurants on the ship,
mm-hmm.
where they only had one before. So you now have the sushi is Izumi Bar. They added Chops, and you have Giovanni's Table, as well as the Park Cafe.
Now, I know you're a big fan of Giovanni's Table.
I am. And that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, did you eat it on this sailing? Did you eat on it? Eat at it?
I did.
Cool.
Yeah, of course.
Did you go to Chops on this sailing?
I didn't. Not this time.
No, gotcha. And a main dining room, how was the food in there?
Always good. Yeah, you have your regular items that they have every night versus the varied menu,
mm-hmm.
where they change up depending if it's formal night or casual night. But just food galore. Endless amounts of food.
That's what I like about these cruise ships, because you have the menu there, and it's a set menu on one side and a rotating one on the other side. So if you want to literally go and have steak 7 nights a week, you can do that, which is awesome.
Right, or chicken, which
yeah.
I do a lot of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there you go.
I'm a chicken girl. I love my chicken.
The respect the chicken. Gotcha. As far as entertainment goes on Grandeur of the Seas, did you get to check out any of it?
Yeah, there was a lot of different, comedies and the Broadway shows, but they have this one guest entertainer that just everybody was raving about called Savannah Jack.
Mm-hmm.
They're a country music band.
Nice.
And it was just absolutely amazing.
I would have loved that. Were they doing like...
It's right up your alley.
Yeah. Were they doing like mainstream country music, or was it like older, like Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson?
A combination of both.
Cool.
Definitely something for everybody, but they really had everyone participating and joining in and singing along, and they were a lot of fun. It was one of the best performances I've seen in a long time.
Let's talk about the outdoor areas for Grandeur of the Seas. So, going from Baltimore down to the Caribbean, I'm sure you had a couple of sea days there. So how was the outside? What was the situation like out there on sea days? Was there enough deck chairs to accommodate the passengers?
Well, as you know, it's always a little crowded right by the pool area.
Mm-hmm.
But, I tend to go one deck up, so there's always plenty of room up there. They have that great big, they added as well with the dry dock, the outdoor large screen TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun for different, they would have movie times or music playing. as well as the Caribbean band out there to get you in the spirit. So yeah, lots of room up there.
Very cool. And this ship also has a solarium, correct?
Yep, they have the solarium.
Did you spend any time in it?
Not as much as I should have.
Of course, we never do.
But yeah, they have the classes, the whirlpools inside, you know, everything that you would need if you're into working out every single day.
I know on this ship, I didn't realize, Janet, this ship was a smaller, like a 75, 77,000 ton ship. I thought it was much larger for some reason.
That's, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It was like it was built in the early 90s. I should do my research before these interviews, huh?
Well, probably you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. But I know that when you look at this ship on Cruise Critic, a lot of people rave about the fitness center, especially post dry dock. Have you spent much time in there?
Yeah, I have. No, I have been in there. It's really nice, state of the art. Like I said, the big whirlpools, all the equipment. Mm-hmm. They have the yoga classes and the Pilates classes. I think they have everything.
And did you get to eat at the Windjammer Cafe?
Well, of course.
And what'd you think of that? I love the Windjammer. There's not a lot of cruise ship Lido deck restaurants that I really, really like, but the Windjammer is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you're right at the front of the ship, so you have a bird's eye view of where you're sailing, and it's actually even great for sunsets. But they have snacks to your main meals, and then certain nights they'd have the Mongolian stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pick all your fresh vegetables, or if you want noodles or chicken or meat, and they just make it all fresh for you right there.
Very good. So Janet, what ports did this sailing hit, and which one was your favorite?
Well, we went to Port Canaveral. That was a nice long port. You're there till about 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Nassau in the Bahamas and their private island, Coco Cay.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're all good, but you can't go wrong with a private island ever. It's just the best beach, the most relaxing. I love their private islands.
Yeah, and you know what I like about their private island is the fact that just that, a private island where you could go into the water. There's like a roped off area to swim and snorkel, and you can rent stuff for like really, really cheap there. The food, do you eat on the private island?
Sometimes.
What do you think of
the
food on it? I it's always hit or miss for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just your typical kind of barbecue. Mm-hmm. It's nothing fancy, but if you're hungry on the beach, you know, it's like hot dogs, hamburgers, ribs, fruit, coleslaw, cookies. But yeah, just your average buffet.
Being a barbecue lover, I don't like the way you said that. Typical barbecue. Do you not like barbecue?
No, I love barbecue.
Okay. All right.
Like a good pulled pork sandwich or something, yes.
Yes. Love,
it's not quite like that.
Love pulling on the pork. What? What am I talking about? In closing here, because you're going to get me in trouble, do you have any been there, done that tips or some first-time tips for listeners wanting to check out Grandeur of the Seas?
It's a good ship. Again, I love the smaller ships. I think there's a more intimate feel with the crew as well as the passengers. Everyone kind of gets to know everybody. But one tip for the private island on Coco Cay, you know, you walk all the way straight back to the end of the beach where there's more space, it's more open, and you just have more intimacy for yourself, I guess.
And if you drown, no one will ever find you.
Right? Most before they sail away.
Yes, yes. There you go. We've been talking with listeners
about you.
Yes, yes. We've been talking with listener Janet Heaton from, where are you? You're in Pennsylvania, right?
Berwyn, Pennsylvania.
There you go. Well, you heard it there, straight from the horse's mouth, the review of Grandeur of the Seas. As always, my dear, thank you so much for spending some time with me tonight.
Anytime. Thanks, Doug.
And that'll do it for this episode of Cruise Radio. When I always love having Janet on the show. She's just too much fun. So, Janet, thank you, and I welcome you back anytime. Be sure to check out our new and improved website at cruiseradio.net. Had a relaunch or a makeover or whatever you want to call it. Once again, that's cruiseradio.net, or hit us up on facebook.com/cruiseradio. Broadcasting from the Ensure My Trip studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Doug Parker, and this is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the insuremytrip.com studios. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
The preceding CruiseAddicts talk show was a production of Cruise Radio.